Charlotte Diggs, as we called her, Lottie Moon, who was the namesake and still is of the International Missions Offering, has become something of a legend. But in her time, Lottie was anything but an untouchable hero. Lottie rebelled against Christianity when she was in college. In December of 1858, though, she dedicated her life to Christ and was baptized at First Baptist Church of Charlottesville, Virginia. She was a hardworking, a very deep-loving Southern Baptist who labored tirelessly so her people group, the Chinese people, could know Jesus. But let me tell you a little bit about her history. Lottie was born to Anna Marie and Edward Harris Moon on December the 12th, 1840, in Viewmont, Virginia. Lottie died aboard a ship in the Japanese harbor of Kobe, Japan, on December the 24th, 1912. She was 72 years old, and remember, 4'3", weighing then only 50 pounds. Such a power-packed lady. She had a heart for the Chinese people that was bigger than any of us in this room could ever, ever, ever imagine. When she set sail for China in the autumn of 1873, Lottie was 32 years old. She had turned down a marriage proposal and left her job, her home, and her family to follow God's lead. She was a woman who was passionate about a lost world, a woman who did not hesitate to speak her mind. Her path wasn't typical for an educated woman from a wealthy Southern family. But Lottie didn't serve a typical God either, remember? He had gripped her with the passion of the Chinese people in need of the Savior. And she served faithfully as a Southern Baptist missionary in China for 39 years. We need to have a radical Christmas for Jesus. We need to have a radical life. And not many of us in this room are called, obviously, to the foreign mission field. But God has brought that mission field in many respects right here to us. And my statement to you as we look at this understanding of what it means to go, see, tell, and praise is that, folks, we become radical for Jesus in the 21st century, in the Christmas season, 2012. One radical short lady, one feisty little lady. Boy, did she get the job done. Hope you have your Bibles open in Luke chapter 2. Let me read you these verses. You'll recognize, matter of fact, let me back up. We're going to center beginning in verse 15. But let me back up to verse 2. You know the story. In the same region, the shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. For look, I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today, a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, is born for you in the city of David. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped snugly in a cloth and lying in a feeding trough." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Remember in past Christmases, I've told you what a heavenly host is? You go back and research it, you'll find exactly the same thing. For lack of a better term, and a whole big long discourse of a sermon right now, that heavenly host was 100 million angels. Wow. I don't know, as a kid, for some reason, I thought three showed up. Don't know why. I just did. And years ago, when it hit me, Doug, that it's all the costumes I had. That's right. 100 million. Can you imagine the sky filled with angels? Now, let me say something to you real quickly. So many people think that when you die, you sprout wings. That's not biblical. God created angels to glorify God Himself and to protect. I'm like Billy Graham. I definitely believe in angels. God created them. But folks, God created all that heavenly host, and that's just only a few. 100 million. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine the sky filled with one. I haven't seen an angel yet in the sky. But 100 million. Wow. From the shepherd's experience in the fields that night, I want to compare with you and walk with you a little bit about the passion and the life of Lottie Moon, that I believe if we're going to make this a radical Christmas for Jesus, and do it with the passion of what the Scripture says, and do it with the passion of a short little feisty lady like Lottie Moon, there's four things that we must do, and here they are. Now, you write it. That's the sermon title, Go See, Tell, and Praise. But I want to expound real briefly on each one of those real quickly. And we're going to begin in verse 15. Here's the first one. Matthew prayed it, talked about it just a few minutes ago in his scripture. Let us go straight to. Look at verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight. From the Holman Christian Standard. To Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. If we're going to make this one a radical Christmas for Jesus, we're going to have to stay focused and understand the true meaning of Jesus in terms of what Christmas is. And we're going to have to do exactly what the shepherds did in everything we do. It's so easy for all of us, I know, to get wrapped up in all the commercialism of Christmas. But the Bible says that those shepherds left that field and they didn't wait, they didn't stop, they went straight to Bethlehem. Their focus was on Bethlehem. They knew a baby was there. Their number one goal was to see that baby. And they had been told by 100 million angels that the one and only Son of God, the Messiah in the Greek. And when we use the in the Greek language, it means exactly what it says. In the 21st century, you and I use the or the flippantly. We never think about what we say. But when the Greek people wrote the definite article, it meant the Messiah, the only Messiah, and that Messiah was Jesus. I remember going to Daytona Beach with my family on vacation as a child. And so my mother and dad tell me, I was a little young to remember this part of it. I remember going to Daytona Beach, and when we arrived, of course, our focus, we got up like 3 o'clock in the morning, and drove to Daytona Beach from right down here on South Cobb Drive here in Marietta. And as any little guy in the back seat of a car, about 30 minutes into the trip, you can guess what I said. Are we what? There yet? Well, I drove my dad absolutely batty by the time we got there. And by the time we got to Daytona Beach, it was raining. Raining so hard that you could not see the ocean. You know how you ride by the road and you see the ocean out there? It was just gone. And my father reminded me years later that I looked to him from the back seat and asked my dad, Pop, will the ocean be there tomorrow? I didn't think it would be because the rain would, quote, flood it out. But my point was my focus was getting to Daytona Beach. And I know I asked, are we there yet? I was wanting to go to the beach. That's the thing I wanted to do. There was a focus. The shepherds went straight to Bethlehem. They focused on Jesus. Folks, you and I are going to have a radical Christmas for Jesus. We're going to have to focus on Jesus. The devil wants to take your focus off of Jesus. No matter what. He can do it. Watch him. Watch what he does when you try to keep that focus on the very fact. But let's go straight. Let's have tunnel vision in that respect. Let's make sure we see the manger. We're going to the Christ child because he's born. He's the Savior of the world. So let us go straight. Now there's a second thing. Verse 16. Let us what? See Jesus. Verse 16, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in a manger and a feeding trough. You see, we must be focused on the end, the goal, but when we get there, we've got to be able to see. And the word in the Greek for see there is to look and see physically, yes. But it means to take action toward what you see. In other words, just don't glance at it. See him. What do shepherds do? The Bible says the shepherds worshiped. That's what we've got to do. Every chance we get. I'm talking about, yes, the organized worship, but I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, our personal worship at home. Those times when you're in your closet. Wherever that closet is in your life, where you just worship Jesus. It's just you and him and that closet together. We've got to see Jesus. During my days on staff at Brainerd Baptist Church in Chattanooga, as their youth minister, I did a youth scavenger hunt many times, but on one occasion, we had about adults and youth, about 150 of us, and I had them searching for treasures throughout the community where we lived in our members' home that I had previously hidden, moving toward the meaning of Christmas, and I gave them specific clues as to what to find. All of those treasures and meanings that they were about to experience was due to a retreat that we were about to experience. And so we sent the kids out. And they had to follow and find them specifically. The stories of the search were so numerous when the kids and the adult leadership got back to our fellowship hall. There were stories of strife, of how they couldn't find. There were stories of fun, of how they enjoyed. There were stories of difficulties in rejoicing. But one thing they had in focus, to find what they were looking for. And then they had to bring back that item in each of the group that they were in for our discussion time back in the fellowship hall. Perhaps it was simply a note signed by the pastor at his house or somewhere hidden. But it was hid somewhere, maybe in the backyard of one of our members. And as many finds as we had that night, most everything we sent out were uncovered. What did they do? They saw them. They picked them up. They brought them back. It's exactly what the shepherds did. When they went to that manger, they didn't just look. They saw. And that's our world's problem, folks. Our world simply glances so many times. But for me and you, for this Christmas, we need to see. Last week, you saw, I think, in New York City, of the police officer who bought the boots for the man. That's been a very popular picture online and on the internet where he bought the boots. I wish I could tell you the hundreds and hundreds of stories by Cobb County Police who have done a lot of the same thing, because I've seen that and heard about it here. So many acts of kindness. They do more than just look. They see. That's what we've got to do this Christmas. We got to look around, but we got to see. What can you do this year for this Christmas season that will be those random acts of kindness for folks that shows that you not only see the manger, you're doing something about it? We've got an opportunity to buy gift cards for some of our folks right here at Olive Springs. We've got an opportunity to minister all over this community throughout Christmas. I challenge you, find those personal acts of kindness. Not only just look at the manger, but see it and let it cause a reaction. And there's a third thing that the shepherds did. It's found in verse 17. It says, let us tell everyone. Verse 17, after seeing them, that is the manger, they reported the message they were told about this child. Now that word report in the Greek language means, it's a law term. Anything in the New Testament had to have at least three witnesses if it's to be valid. It wouldn't be valid unless there were at least three. And this particular Greek word here, and you can look back and understand it according to Matthew chapter 18, verse 16. You write that in the margin and go back and look at it sometimes. But those shepherds, at least three of them, perhaps more, were the three witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ was born. And then they reported, that's that word, the message. That word message in the Greek, it's a little word called rhema. And we translate it word. It means to say a single word about an event that is fact. It is so ironic that it is the same Greek word used in Matthew 27:14 when Jesus did not utter a rhema to Pilate. Can't see that in the English language, but you can in the Greek. Wow. The point is simple, folks. Once we see Jesus, once you've had a personal experience, you will tell others. The disciples didn't wait. The shepherds didn't wait. They went and reported the message. The three witnesses, validation by law that it was fact. You know, as I said a couple weeks ago and even last week, we don't have a problem believing our history books about World War I, World War II, the Civil War, the Korean War, and all the history of the United States. Why is it that we have a problem believing the Bible when we've got eyewitnesses here? The Bible is a historical book. Go back and read some of the first century Jewish historians like Josephus. Listen and see what he wrote about what happened in the early church. Go back and read and see. This is historical. Those shepherds were acting as the legal witnesses of God that Jesus, the Messiah, the only Messiah, has come. An indisputable fact in the Word of God by three witnesses according to law. And yet this world has a problem with believing that one thing. I'm blown away. Folks, I'm blown away. Lottie Moon knew Jesus Christ. She had a personal relationship with him, and that relationship led her to the people of China, where she told them about the incredible love of Jesus Christ. The shepherds didn't waste any time. They did what they said they were going to do. So, folks, when we come to that manger this Christmas, and we see it on Christmas cards, and we see it out in the world, and we read about it in the Word of God, folks, may that manger just absolutely blow us away once again. It is the one and only Son of God that has been born. It's been validated by three witnesses, and it's fact. Don't let Satan try to tell you it's not. Don't let Satan try to twist your mind and think, well, no, the virgin birth, that just never will happen. God is all powerful. God spoke life into existence. God can take care of a virgin birth, and he did. I like what Mike Speck says in our narration of the musical the choir is going to do here in a couple weeks called Down from His Glory. And I quote Mike Speck. He says, "May the story of the birth of Jesus never become so familiar that it no longer moves us or amazes us. On a night emblazoned by a magnificent star, a child was born like no child ever before or since or ever will be again. And the birth of Jesus Christ is the single most important event in the history of the world." As the shepherds and as Lottie Moon, I want to ask you something. Have you seen the manger? Then it's time what we said to this people out here, like never before. Oh, we're doing it. We're doing it right now. But I mean, find newer, different ways, other ways, additional ways that we can share Jesus with this community. So let's go straight to, let's see Jesus. Let's tell everyone. And in the fourth and final place this morning, in verse 18, let us praise God always. Look at verse 18. "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." People comes back, the shepherds, they're talking about it. Now it's the people. I love this word, amazed. Thumazo, that's what it is in the Greek. It means to wonder, it means to marvel, it means to be amazed. Our Michael is a drummer. Pretty good drummer at that. He doesn't play as much as he used to, but in high school, college, and whatever he did. And I can remember the first time Connie and I gave him a set of drums on Christmas morning. Bethany's here. She'll remember that as well. They got up on Christmas morning and came in, and here was that drum set sitting there. And Michael just kind of stopped when he came down the hallway. He was about 7 or 8 years old. And he just stood in his tracks, Doug, just didn't move, and his little mouth just dropped. And he just stood there. His eyes were about this big. Am I right, y'all? About this big. That's wonder and amazement. I wish we'd stand at the manger this Christmas and we would just say, we would just be, we would be so taken back. We know the Christmas story. We've lived that Christmas story for many of in this house many years. But my prayer is that when we see that baby in the manger this Christmas, we just stand there and we say, and then when we leave there, we go to someone and says, you won't believe what I saw. I know it's on a Christmas card, but it's in the Word of God. You won't believe this. Jesus, God, became man, and he lives amongst us. He's in my life. Folks, when you've had that kind of experience with the Lord Jesus, praise God always. Be amazed. Stand there and look in absolute, total awe. Wow. How many times do we in our churches today are awed by the man? It's become old hat. It's become a story we hear every year and throughout the year. Let's make it radical this year. Let's make it different. Let me close with this about Lottie Moon. She praised Jesus. Her life of 72 years was lived in complete dedication. She did what the book says. She glorified, gave glory to God, and praised God for what he was doing. She was just in absolute awe. Lottie buried herself in China's misfortunes, and she tried to help. And this dear little lady at 71, her health began to fail. Her strength failed. When she turned 72, she quit eating. And the missionary who was there with her reported that. This is fact also. She stopped eating so she could give all of her food in the house to the Chinese people. Yeah. For 2 weeks, young missionaries tried to help, but Lottie continued to spiral into malnutrition and dementia. She couldn't stand the thought of someone going hungry, her people. And the famine in the land was growing worse. And despite her condition, Lottie's love for the Chinese people outweighed that desire for food. And rather than eat, she continued to give the only food she had to the Chinese people, whom she loved with all her heart. And they loved her. So alarmed, the young colleague sent for help from the missionary. And a missionary nurse by the name of Jesse Pettigrew came from Wangstein, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, and discovered and treated a large boil at the base of Lottie's ear, took her home with her, and missionary doctors tried to help her in her condition. But the doctors decided then that the only hope for her survival was a voyage back to the United States. And as Dr. Hearn, her doctor, packed her in pillows for the long day's ride to the coast, she sat up, and Dr. Hearn says, now, Miss Moon, just lay down. The old, precise, literary Lottie Moon, feisty, 4'3" woman says, I will not lay down, sir. I will lie down. Cynthia Miller, missionary nurse, went with Lottie, who by this time said she weighed only 50 pounds. After a few days, she roused up, she took some juice, and she spoke weakly, but rationally, about spiritual things, and she whispered the words of the song with her companion, and she started singing. 50-year-old lady. She started singing, Jesus loves you. She asked the nurse to pray for her, and next morning Lottie no longer spoke but pointed upward when her nurse neared, indicating the source of her life. The ship docked in Kobe, Japan, one of Lottie's favorite places. Take on coal, and on Christmas Eve, 1912, she opened her eyes and smiled and looked around, and with her last remaining strength, she raised her fist with the palm over the left fist, indicating peace for the Chinese, and did that toward God, and she went home to be with the Lord. Her remains were cremated by Japanese law, and Nurse Miller delivered the urn of ashes on to a board representative then called the Foreign Mission Board. Her life was never the same for having been with Lottie Moon, and the same could be said for thousands of people in America and in China. And right now, the reason we give is because, of course, Jesus Christ, but a little feisty lady who gave even the last little bit of food for the Chinese people whom she loved. Let's make it a rattle for Christmas for Jesus. Go, see, tell, and praise. John 3:16. $3,160 from these people, 100% of it goes to the mission field to help our mission. Wow. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the shepherds. Thank you for the obedience of the shepherds. Thank you for the story and the fact of the birth of Jesus. Thank you for the manger. Thank you for the wonder and amazement of the manger. Thank you for Lottie Moon. Thank you, Father, for her giving heart. May we do no less right here by giving our hearts, by going, seeing, telling.